Yes, I understand, and I am pleased that such are your longings and desires, and if you will only persist in these longings and pray to the Father with all the earnestness of your aspirations, and let faith take hold of these aspirations, you will very soon have a wonderful inflowing of this love and get in that condition of atonement that you so much desire. I will be with you and help you with my prayers and love, and I know that the Father will bless you. I will not write more now, but will come tomorrow night. So with my love and blessings, by 440, the Paget Messages 1916, will say good night, your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, sweetheart, the dark spirits are very anxious to write tonight, and it is somewhat difficult to control them, although, as Jesus said, you have the power, yourself, to prevent them from writing. They are so very unhappy that you will relieve it and let them write. They are increasing in numbers more and more, and seem more anxious to come in contact with you than ever, and we find it is difficult to induce them to leave. But I see the wisdom of your rule, to only receive their messages one day a week, and the necessity of enforcing it, for otherwise the higher spirits would not have any opportunity to convey their messages. Well, I heard what the Master said, and you must try to do as he says regarding the time of writing. He is so very anxious to write, and so are a number of others. I mean the higher spirits, for they all have messages of truth to deliver. Yes, they, my band, are desirous of writing you, but you have been so crowded that they have not attempted to interfere. She has a message and will come soon and deliver it. Well, I will tell them what you say, and we will arrange for the writing in the way that you suggest, and they will be happy to do so, I know. I will not write more now, you had better go to bed soon and get up earlier. So give me my kiss and say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. October 26, 1916. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I am glad to know that you are in a much better condition tonight, and hope that you will continue in the development of your spiritual powers, that is the soul, for we all feel much encouraged and hope that soon you will commence to receive the higher messages. I was with you today when the lady called and heard your conversation, and desire to tell you that it had some effect upon your hearer and may help her to get into the way that will lead to the development of her soul in love. At the same time were the spirits of her relatives present, and they, or some of them, expressed a desire to write a message to her, and one in particular who is a very bright spirit of the 441, celestial spheres. She seemed much interested in the woman and is quite anxious to write her in reference to the condition of her soul and the necessity for her seeking for the love and becoming a true child of the Father. I told her that you would receive her message in a very short time, and so you will. Well, dear, I see that you are happier than you were, and it is all due to your turning your thoughts to spiritual things and praying for a greater inflowing of the love. I will not write more now. Yes, I should have told you, but our communications have been so brief, or rather caused to be brief, by the condition surrounding you, that I did not think at the time to write you in reference to baby, her, and saw that she was sick, but that there was nothing very serious the matter with her. She will soon be much better, and then she can have the operation that she told you of. Well, I will write her a long, loving, motherly letter very soon, and you can give it to her, for I will try to write her a very encouraging letter and one that will appeal to her love instincts. No, I will not forget, he is ready at any time and has been waiting only for you to get in condition to receive his messages. He has made an examination of the doctor and knows what the trouble is with him, and is prepared to prescribe. You had better go to bed earlier tonight as you need to recuperate, and a good sleep will help you very much. So love me and believe that I love you. Good night, my dear Ned, your own true and loving, Helen. October 28, 1916. I am here, your father. I desire to write a few lines tonight, as I have not written for some time, and I feel that I want you to hear from me and learn that I have been with you a great deal, trying to help you and make you happy. I know the worries that you have, and know that everything looks so dark to you and no apparent relief in sight, but you must not have such dreaded views, for what you imagine you see will never come to pass, and things will take on a brighter hue before a great while. I love you, as you know, and so do many others who are with you frequently, and you must believe that they are trying to help you and are doing so. If you could realize just for a moment what power you have surrounding you and how much it, the Paget Messages 1916, is being exercised for your good, you would not look upon material things in such a gloomy light. I am now in the first celestial sphere and am happy beyond all expression, and know that the divine love of which you have heard so much is a real living thing that makes the souls of spirits atone with the Father and immortal. My dear son, I cannot tell you the glories of the home that is mine or of the happiness which I have in my soul, and when I sometimes think of what I was on earth and what I am now, I am astonished that such great difference could exist between the two existences. God is all love, and His mercy and care are without limit, and all mortals are the object of all these blessed attributes of Him. Keep up your courage and let all the aspirations of your soul go forth to Him and His love, for, because, you are on the right road to obtaining this great love in increased abundance, and your home in the celestial spheres is assured. Only pray and have faith. Many spirits are here tonight, and some desire to write, but I do not know they will do, as your wife says that this is her night and she has promised to write you and must keep her promise. She is so wonderful and beautiful that you would not know her if you could see her in her glorious appearance, and her love is exceedingly transcendent, and her love for you rather surprises us all, for it is deeper than the ocean and higher than the heavens, as you mortals say. She is a spirit of such exceeding brightness that we who were with her when she first came to the spirit world can scarcely realize that she is the same person that came to us a few short months ago. But she sought for the divine love with all the positiveness and longings of her soul and was never satisfied unless she was progressing, so that now she is higher up in the celestial spheres, and is filled with this love, and with it has a beauty that outshines the stars and a wisdom that you cannot conceive of. We all love her very much, and her work in bringing soulmates together is resulting in a wonderful good and happiness to these happy ones. Well, I am glad that I could write to you tonight and tell you these things. But do not forget that I am with you very often and am still your guardian angel, although you have around you and interested in you a vast number of spirits of the celestial heavens. Well, you must know that as I progress in my soul development, I also progress in my mental development, and knowledge and power of expression come to me, as it were, unconsciously. 442, and no effort is required to write you and explain the things of this world in a manner that you would hardly expect from what you know of my mental development when on earth. There are many surprising things occurring all the time to spirits as they progress, and I am told that there is no end to our progress, and it must be so, for even the highest spirits say that they are progressing to higher and higher planes all the time. Yes, my soulmate has progressed with me and we are very happy. I wish I could tell you what soulmate happiness when combined with the happiness of the divine love means. But it would be useless to try. Your mother's soulmate has progressed also. He is in the seventh sphere and is striving with all the energies of his soul to get in the sphere with your mother, and he will soon do so, for she is helping with her wonderful love and is with him a great deal. I must stop now. So with all my father's love, I will say good night. Your loving father and brother in Christ, John H. Paget. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, my dear, I am here as I promised you today and will try to write my letter, although I hesitated about doing so, as there are some spirits here who are very anxious to write, but I told them that I had made the engagement with you, and that they must wait until another time to write, and of course, they very willingly acquiesced. Well, I want to tell you that I was with you tonight at the meeting and saw that you enjoyed some of the soul love and influence that were present. These people have a great deal of this love and attract many spirits of the spiritual kind and receive a great amount of the divine love, for the Holy Spirit is present with them, doing the work of the Father. But I did not come to write of them, so I will not write more. As your father just wrote you, I am in the higher planes of the celestial heavens and I am so happy that I hardly know how to express myself to you, for your language has no words adequate to express what I should like to tell you. All the descriptions of my several homes that I have heretofore given you, if combined, could not faintly describe the home in which I now have or the happiness which is mine. As I go higher, the things of earth gradually fade away from my memory, and only my love for you and the children remain in its strength and realness. And if it were not for this, the Paget messages 1916, love, I do not think that I would often come to the earth plane, for my special work, as you know, is among the spirits of the higher spheres in revealing to them the soul mates that they have, and in bringing to them the consequent happiness. But as I have told you, while you remain on earth, I will never be able to remain away from you, as the great attraction which our love creates would not permit me to do so, even if I did not desire to come, if you can imagine such a thing to be possible. The Father is so loving and good that he never prevents his spirits of the celestial kingdom from indulging in those things that will make them happy and contented, and, consequently, there are more of the spirits in the earth planes doing their missions of love than might be expected, when the happiness that their homes gives them is considered. But these spirits know not selfishness in the sense of desiring all this happiness for themselves. Of course, if they have no attraction on earth, if love for the mortal does not call them to earth, then they live mostly in the spiritual or celestial heavens doing their work, but always work for others. These spirits are never idle, indulging their own pleasures in such a way as the majority of Christians may believe. They have their harps and their music of various kinds, and all these things that are commonly conceived by the Christian mortals to exist in the kingdom of heaven, yet they enjoy them only in the moments of cessation from their work in helping other spirits to progress towards the fountainhead of the Father's love. I am also now working in teaching the spirits of the lower spheres the plan of God for the salvation of their souls, and it is a glorious work, and the reflected happiness is beyond all explanation. As we give our knowledge and love to these spirits and realize their happiness and joy, this love that streams down upon us from the higher plane seems to fill our souls with increased abundance, and we realize the saying, that the more we give the more we receive. Never are we made poor by giving, and never cease to give when the opportunity presents itself. Only are we disappointed when those to whom we try to give our love and share our happiness with, refuse to receive these gifts, and this frequently happens, especially in the lower spheres and in the intellectual spheres, for you must know that these spirits of the divine nature spend much time in the intellectual spheres, endeavoring to lead the spirits of these spheres in the way that will bring to them this divine love and endless progress. 443. But strange as it may seem to you, these intellectual spirits whose natural love has become to a great degree purified, are the most difficult to convince or even interest in the great plan of the Father for their soul's redemption and entrance into the celestial spheres. They are comparatively happy as they progress in these intellectual and moral spheres, and they do not desire anything until they arrive at the limit of their progress, and then many of them have an awakening to the fact that there may be something beyond their present powers of acquiring, and that the celestial spirits may know a way to greater progress and happiness. We of the celestial spheres all engage in this work, for we know the importance of it, and the certainty that at some time the celestial kingdom will be closed, but we do not know when. Our work with these spirits will have to cease, and then they will be left through all eternity to the limited happiness and ended progression. The more experience I have in this work, the more I am astonished at the great and wonderful power of the human will. And when I say this, I include the will that these pure spirits of the natural love have. It seems to me that they approach nearest the greatness of the Father in this will power, and in the untrammeled exercise of it. I know of no power or function that these spirits of the natural love have, that the spirits of the celestial spheres cannot control or subordinate, except this great will power, and as to that we are as helpless as babes so far as compulsion is concerned. When we try to influence them with love is our weapon, and unless love can work its way, our influence is almost hopeless. Of course, persuasion of their intellects is also necessary, and reason must be taken in the account, but as I say, the approach to persuasion and reason must be through love, which is the power that moves and governs the spirit world. Well, dear, don't you think I have written enough for tonight? You are somewhat exhausted, and I think it best to stop. Your own true and loving, Helen. October 29, 1916. I am here, Jesus. You were right in your surmise that I was with you tonight, and as you imagined, I was standing close to you at the time the preacher, Dr. Gordon, was delivering his discourse, and you felt the influence of my love and sympathy, and also received the thoughts that I was superimposing on your brain. The Paget Messages 1916. The preacher's sermon was an advance upon the beliefs of the Orthodox in many particulars, but in the most important particular and in the one that will affect mortals most vitally in their progress in the spirit life. He was wrong, very wrong. I refer to his declaration that he saw or knew of no statement in the Bible that would justify him in asserting that there would be an opportunity for the spirits of mortals to receive pardon or to progress from the condition of hell to that of light and heaven in the spirit world, when they had not started on that journey in the mortal life. This, as I have told you, is a damnable doctrine, and one that has done more harm all down the centuries from the time of my living on earth, than most any other teaching of the Church that claims to be representative of me and my teachings. Many poor souls have come into the spirit world with this belief firmly fixed in their minds and conscience, and the difficulties have been great and the years long before they could awaken from this belief and realize that the love of the Father is waiting for them in spirit life just as in the earth life, and that probation is never closed for men or spirits, and never will be until the time of the withdrawal of the great opportunity for men to become inhabitants of the celestial heavens, and even then, the opportunity to purify their natural love will not cease, and never will, until all who have the opportunity shall become perfect men in their natural loves. Had he searched the scriptures, in which he so implicitly believes, he would have found an authorization for him to declare that even in the spirit world, the spirits of the unsaved sinners on earth, who died without having become reconciled to God, had the gospel of salvation preached to them. That is in the hells, 1 Peter 3:19-20. And furthermore, when he declared that the Bible says that I said that he that sinneth against the Son of Man it shall be forgiven him, but he that sinneth against the Holy Ghost it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come, had the preacher placed the natural and only implied construction on this declaration, he would have found that the sinner who neglected the opportunity on earth, would yet have another chance for salvation in the world to come, as the spirit world is referred to. So that, even according to his own source of belief and foundation of his knowledge of these things of the future, he would be justified and even required, as an honest preacher of the scriptures, to declare that probation did not end with the physical death of the mortal. It is so sad that the 444 creeds and fixed opinions of these preachers, formed from the teachings of the old fathers, as they are called, should be men of soul development, such as this preacher has, and teach the damnable doctrine that I speak of, which he declared. There is a hell, or rather hells, just as there is a heaven or heavens, and all men when they become spirits, will be compelled to occupy one or the other of these places, not because God had decreed that any particular spirit because of his earth belief or condition shall occupy that place, but because the condition of his soul development, or want of development, fits and fixes him for that place and no other. God has made his laws of harmony and these laws are never changed, and when any particular soul gets into a condition of agreement with these laws, then that soul becomes at one with the Father and an inhabitant of his heavens, and so long as that soul remains out of such condition it is in hell, which is the condition of being out of agreement with the harmony of God's laws. This is hell and there is no other comprehensive definition of it. Everything or place that is not heaven is hell. Of course there are many gradations of hell, and the inhabitants of these gradations are made by the condition of their soul development, which is determined by the quantity and quality of the defilement and sin that exists in these souls. The soul is developed as the love becomes purified and sin eradicated, and just as this process progresses the soul becomes developed. God has decreed that his universe, both of men and things, shall be harmonious, and only the creature, man, has become out of that harmony, and as the universe shall continue, the only destiny for man is, that he shall return to that harmony from which he fell by reason of his own misdirected will. Had God decreed, as the preacher by necessary implication, declared, that the sinner who dies in his sins shall forever remain in his sins and in a state of antagonism to such harmony, then God, himself, would necessarily become the cause and power of defeating his own laws of harmony, which no sane mortal, whether he believes in the scriptures or not, would or could believe. God's laws are fixed and unchangeable and always in harmony with one another and with his will, and knowing this, every thinking man will know and should know that whenever a proposition or opinion is put forth by preacher or layman or philosopher or scientist that shows that in order for a certain condition or truth to exist, the Paget Messages 1916, God's laws will have to work in conflict with or in opposition to one another, then that proposition or opinion is false and has no foundation in fact. And so to accept this declaration of the preacher that there is no probation after death, or as he said, chance to progress out of the hell which the mortal carries with him to the spirit world, men will have to believe that the loving Father, for the satisfying his wrath and meeting the demands of his supposed justice, will set his laws in conflict with one another and destroy the harmony of his universe. The preacher spoke, as he said, as a scientist, and not as a religious teacher, and yet the deduction that he made when he declared the eternal existence of the hells, violated one of the fundamental laws of science, and that is, that two conflicting laws in the workings of God's universe cannot both be accepted as true, and that the one of these two that is in harmony with all the other known laws must be accepted as true. Then I say, that founded on the scriptures or founded on science, the preacher had no basis for making the untrue and deplorable statement, that physical death ends man's possibility of progressing from a condition or state of existence in hell into that of purity and freedom from sin and into harmony with God's perfect laws and the requirements of his will. The preacher spoke from his intellect and mental beliefs of long years standing and the memory echoes of what he had heard said by other preachers and teachers who left upon his conscious beliefs their false doctrines. But deep down in his soul, where the love of the Father is burning and the soul's sense is growing, he does not believe this doctrine, for he realizes that this love of the Father is so much greater and purer and holier than any other love that exists in heaven or on earth, and the Father from whom it comes must be holier and more merciful and forgiving and thoughtful of his children than of any mortal father of his children. And then, as a mortal father having in his soul the divine love, he knows that his child could not commit any sin or offense that could possibly become unpardonable, or that he would not permit, and gladly, the child to repent of at any time. And so he would see, that if he refused to the Father, from whom this divine love comes, a love and sympathy that would cause that Father to be as forgiving to his children as is he, the earthly parent, then the greatest attribute of that Father, God, who is all love, would not be equal to the love of his creature. The derivative 445, would be greater and grander and purer and more divine than the fountainhead from which it is derived. No, the preacher in his soul does not believe this unnatural teaching, and at times, he travails in his soul at the conflict that takes place between the mental bondage of his intellectual beliefs and the freedom of his soul sense, the creature of the divine love that is in him, and the only part of divinity that he possesses. And thus is demonstrated the great, real paradox of the existence in the same mortal at the same time, of an intellectual belief and a soul knowledge as far apart as the antipodes. And also is demonstrated the truth, a great truth, that the mind of man and the soul of man are not one and the same, but are as distinct as the creature of a special creation, the mind, and the creation of that which is the only part of man made in the image of his Maker, the soul, must necessarily be. But some day the soul knowledge will overcome the mental belief, and then the preacher will know that harmony and inharmony cannot exist for all time, that sin and error must disappear and purity and righteousness must exist alone, and that every man and spirit must become at one with the Father, either as an inhabitant of the celestial heavens or as the perfect man that first appeared at the call of God, and by him pronounced very good. I have written enough for tonight and must stop. But before doing so, I want to say that I have been with you today and saw that you were very happy in your thoughts and in your soul experience. Other spirits were also with you, throwing around you their love and influence. Persevere in your efforts to obtain this divine love, and pray to the Father, and it will come to you in increased abundance, and with it a wonderful happiness. I will come soon and write you another message. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night and God bless you. Your brother and friend, Jesus. October 31, 1916. When you are weakest, then are you strongest, because then you rely more on the power and help of the Father. Such has been your condition tonight, and I want to tell you that you have received a wonderful amount of the Father's love, and the love of the Master. This I tell you because I know from what I actually have seen. So you, the Paget Messages 1916, should not let your worries trouble you so much. Try to think more of the promises of the Master and of the love of the Father, and you will realize that help is very near you. We are all here tonight because we are interested in you and want to see you happy, and you should be so, and if you could only know the love that is surrounding you, you would cease to worry so much. The Master has told you that your worries will leave you soon and you must believe him, for it is true. I know this, and I can only corroborate what he says, so that you must not continue to let these temporary troubles keep you in such a condition of gloom and despondency. I will not write more tonight. Your brother in Christ, James, the Apostle. November 2, 1916. I am here, Jesus. Of course, the scenes in which I was represented, in the 1916 movie Civilization, are creatures of the imagination, and intended to impress upon the observers of these scenes the belief or thought, that because of my teachings of peace and goodwill to men, I would necessarily be interested in those things that violate my teachings, and, consequently would be present at the fields of battle and the destruction of human life. But I may surprise you when I tell you that I do not visit these scenes, because my mission as a spirit is not to help those who fall in battle and come to the spirit world as the result of wars, destruction and murder of human beings. There are many spirits whose duty it is to look after the spirits of those who are so suddenly ushered into the spirit world, and to help them to a realization of their changed conditions, and to lead them to the knowledge that they are no longer mortals. These spirits are specially designated for this work and they comfort the unfortunate spirits and help them to recover from the shock of their violent and sudden transformation. This work, as you may say, is a material one, that is the one that helps these spirits come into possession of their spiritual faculties, irrespective of the question as to whether they are fitted for heaven or for hell. In other words, they work to make the coming of these spirits as free from the terrors which such sudden transformation might cause, as is possible. This work is a necessary one, and one which is a part of the plan of the Father for the welfare and happiness of his children, without regard to the fact that they know not his love and mercy. But my work is different. I deal only with the souls of men irrespective of their spirit condition, that is of the condition of spirit as mere spirit. On the field of battle the souls of men are not generally open to the influence of my teachings, and my work is not among the physically dead, but among the living who are in that state of mental and soul equipoise to receive the influences of my suggestion and love. No, the field of battle is not my place of work, and the killing of men and the carnage of war do not attract me or have for me the opportunities to do the great work that I am leading the spirits who know the reality and the necessity of the divine love to do. I am interested in the peace of mankind and the love of one brother for another, and my teachings on earth and in the spirit world are given for the purpose of bringing about this peace. But the wars of nations or the hatred of battles will never result in bringing peace, merely because of the horrors and desolation that flow from such wars and battles. Men may think that when mankind looks upon these things of destruction, it will also look upon them with such horror and dread, that never again will war take place, and that only peace will follow and forever remain the heritage of men. But I tell you that in this they are mistaken, for in the passing of a few years all these things will be forgotten, and then, men's hearts being the same, with all the hatred and envy and ambition that existed in the hearts and minds of those who were responsible for the forgotten wars, these things will be repeated. And the fact that men are of the same carnal minds and desires will be demonstrated. As long as men remain in their condition of sin and have only what some may call the brotherhood of man to restrain them from seeking to satisfy their ambitions or to gratify their desires to punish fancied wrongs, wars will ensue and the horrors of such conflicts will reappear on the face of the earth. Men will cry peace, peace, but the world will know no peace, and poor man will suffer the recurrence of the results of the workings of his evil nature. And hence, you may understand that I am not so much interested in having peace come to man as a result of the horrors of war as I am in having it come as the necessary result of the transforming of men's hearts and souls from sin to purity, from the merely natural love to that of the divine love.